Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Pullman and Moscow teenagers plead not guilty in killing over the summer at campsite in rural Latah County. Moscow City Council approves new billing system for water bills. Key legislative race in Western Washington may decide who controls the Senate, and a list of Moscow City Council election campaign donations. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Governor Butch Otter has appointed Republican Jerome Wagner to complete the term of Republican Representative Brandon Hickson of Caldwell, who resigned last month. The District 10 Republican Committee submitted the names of three nominees to Governor Otter to replace Hickson, who Caldwell Police is investigating in a sexual abuse case. Wagner is Caldwell's senior city planner. Wagner lost narrowly in the 2012 Republican House seat 10A primary to Hickson. A citizens group opposed to a planned downtown Boise sports stadium has filed an open meetings law violation complaint against the Greater Boise Auditorium District with the Ada County Prosecutor's Office. The group says Auditorium District Executive Director Pat Rice wrote emails to stadium developer Chris Schoen to plan a meeting with two Greater Boise Auditorium District board members at a time to avoid having a board quorum when developer Schoen met with board members. Rice wrote to Schoen in 2014, "Since I have five board members and a quorum requires a public meeting, I'd recommend an hour each in groups of 2+1. Idaho Press Club and Idahoans for Open Government President Betsy Russell, a reporter for the Spokesman Review, criticized the serial meeting strategy. Russell said, "There's a reason that we have an open meetings law, and our government agencies shouldn't be going to elaborate means to avoid it. They should just comply with it." Rice told the Idaho Statesman it was purely meet and greet. There was no district business discussed. Board members told the Statesman they recalled talking about stadium projects with Schoen at the meetings. The Moscow City Council last night voted to approve a contract with the company InfoSend to outsource the city's water billing system. City Supervisor Gary Riedner said until now it took a city staff member a full day each month to print the bills and rip the perforated separations between each postcard-style bill. Riedner said the new bills will come in envelopes.
The impact is $29.21 per month, $2,921 per month, and it includes all what you see under here: personnel costs, postage, supplies, software. Additional inserts, as desired, will be at a cost plus the bulk mail covers that as well. Now, how does that compare to what we pay today? It's all broken down over here. Right now, our utility billing clerk, the time that she spends, estimated time on these, is about $4,506. Now, that is not per month. That is what she spends on it per year. And we also had a part-time person up till about 2 years ago that, since we've spread that work out on the rest of the staff, so we don't do that anymore. So ultimately, it costs, it's almost an annual net out. But with the additional costs or the additional capacity that you get with the InfoSend agreement and the InfoSend materials, we think it's a better deal. So it isn't quite as, doesn't cost exactly the same, but we feel for the small additional amount that it provides a bunch more information. Additionally, what happens from a technical standpoint is that the city will calculate up the bills, they will transmit an electronic file to InfoSend that will then produce the billings and send them out. So it takes that entire process away from the city staff.
I was just curious, of InfoSyn, it says, you know, it's a company out of California. Are there any Idaho companies?
We looked and we tried to keep it local, and we spent quite a bit of time working with the local vendor. Could not come. These folks specialize in this, and they've got the cost down as cheaply as they can be. As I said, Twin Falls and Pullman both use this vendor. Mm. And the other thing that makes it good for us is it also works with our accounting software, Springbrook, which is out of Portland, Oregon. We've been using them for about 15, 16 years, and that runs our entire city financial package. This program fits right in with that. There's a Springbrook module that fits with it. So it should be pretty seamless.
That was Moscow City Supervisor Gary Reedner speaking at last night's City Council meeting. You also heard from City Council Member Catherine Bonzo in that clip. The new billing system is set to start in January. The Moscow City Council voted 4-0 last night to ratify a financial services agreement and approve refinancing and refunding of the City of Moscow Series 2008 sewer revenue bonds in order to take advantage of lower interest rates. Moscow City Supervisor Gary Reedner told the council the city's 2008 Series sewer bonds are 20-year bonds that have a call date after 10 years. He said the call date is May of next year. Reedner said the city's financial consultants sent out requests for proposals to the banks the city does business with, asking them to bid on refinancing the bond. He said the city should save as much as $300,000.
What the hope is that their proposals, as they come back, will be at a lower rate than what the bonds are today. Estimated, and if you look at the different proposals and the different materials in your packets, there are different issuance you can do. You can do a public issuance, a private placement, or you can place them through the Idaho Bond Bank. Public placement is quite a bit more expensive. You don't get quite the interest savings, and it's a long process. The Idaho Bond Bank is the longest process, but is a little cheaper than the private placement. Private placement, which essentially is one financial institution coming in and purchasing the entire bonding issue or the entire debt issue, they would come in. It's a very short process. It is a competitive interest rate, not quite as much as you would expect from the Idaho Bond Bank. But right now, bonds are at historic lows, so it makes sense to get this done as quickly as possible and lock that interest rate in.
That's Moscow City Supervisor Gary Reedner. The council also approved a $500,000 funding request to the Idaho Commerce Department to assist with the purchase of a new fire engine. The grant would be provided under the Idaho Community Development Block Grant Program. City Council members Art Bedke and John Weber did not attend last night's meeting. Here is a list of campaign contributions in the Moscow City Council and Mayor's races of more than $200, with some mention of lower dollar amount donations deemed worth noting. In the City Council's four-year term race, incumbent Art Bedke reports no contributions. Candidate Rob Parrish reported a number of $100 contributions, one of which is from Mayor Bill Lambert, another is from Stuart Scott, the husband of former City Council member Sue Scott. The only larger contributions listed are $262 Parrish paid to his own campaign and $250 from Lauren Finns and Dave Potter. Incumbent Walter Steed's campaign contributions above $200 include $300 from Whitney and Whitney LLP, $200 from Craig Spencer of Boise, $500 from Roby Russell of Seattle, and $200 from Steve and Donna Bush of Moscow. Bush is former president of the Greater Moscow Alliance and current Gritman Medical Center board member. Brandy Sullivan's larger campaign contributions include $1,000 from Bill and Donna Parks of Moscow, $1,000 from Amy Mazier, $500 from Bill Voxman and Joanne Reese of Moscow, $194 from Vicky Getz of Moscow, and $291 from Christina Hilding of Moscow, $200 from Nils Peterson and Krista Kramer, Kelly and Scott Fidel, Mae Goodman, John Sullivan, George Scandalos, and $220 from Ian Von Lindern of Moscow. Sullivan also received $100 from former city council member Sue Scott. Gina Tarusio's only contribution larger than $200 is a $250 contribution from Volk Law PLLC. Tarusio also received $100 each from Mayor Bill Lambert and Gritman Medical Center CEO Greg Kimberling, among others. In the two-year term race, the donations larger than $200 was $1,000 from attorney Roby G. Russell of Seattle to incumbent John Weber. Weber also received $250 from Larry Germer of Germer Construction and $250 from Short's Funeral Home. Weber also received a $100 donation from Greg Kimberling Insurance. The other candidate in the two-year race, Ann Zabala, received donations larger than $200, including $1,000 from Greg Gien of Fullerton, California, $1,000 from Bill and Donna Parks of Moscow, $500 from Joanne Reese of Moscow, $250 from Kristen Henrich of Moscow, $250 from Nils Peterson of Moscow, $250 from Zoe Cooley of Troy, and $200 from Corey and Jay Hunter. Zabala also received a number of $100 donations, including from former Democratic State Representative candidate Loreen Sorensen of Moscow, House Minority Leader Matt Erpelding of Boise, Democratic State Representative Elena Rubel of Boise, former Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney and her husband Gary Bryan, and from Democratic former State Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow, who donated with his wife Martha. The larger contributors to Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert's reelection bid are Short's Funeral Chapel with $500, Avista Corporation of Spokane donating $250, former Greater Moscow Alliance President and current Gritman Medical Center board member Stephen Bush, who gave $200, and Larry Germer, owner of Germer Construction of Moscow, with $200. Greg Kimberling Insurance and City Council candidates Rob Parrish and Art Bedke each gave $100 to Lambert's campaign, as did Todd and Gina Tarusio. Tarusio and Bedke are incumbents in this year's four-year term city council race. Donations in excess of $200 to Lambert's challenger Linda Paul include $1,000 from Jay and Corrine Hunter of Moscow, $250 from Linda and R.R. Ross of Deary, and $200 total from Nils Peterson and Krista Kramer. Full disclosure, KRFP station manager Lee Robartis, who wrote this story, is housemate and tenant of city council candidate Ann Zabala. Polls are open until 8 p.m. at the Latah County Fairgrounds for people voting in the Moscow City races. In Idaho, all voters must show a photo ID or, alternately, sign an affidavit saying they are who they say they are, called a identification affidavit. You do not need to be registered when you show up to vote. You can register at the polling place on election day. People who want to register at the polling place on election day should bring proof they have lived at their current address for at least 30 days, a copy of a lease, a bank statement, utility bill, or mail sent to the address in the person's name is accepted. There is no Kibidome voting in odd years. All voting in Moscow will take place in the Latah County Fairgrounds events building. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. The most significant off-year election in Washington State will be in a suburban King County legislative district in which Republican Jin Young Lee England and Democrat Manka Dingra are facing off in a Senate race that will determine which party controls the state Senate. Republicans have held a slim advantage over Democrats in the Senate with a coalition that includes one Democrat that votes with the Republicans. The coalition runs the Senate with a 50-49 majority. England and Dingra are facing each other in a special election to fill the seat held by Republican Andy Hill of Redmond, who died a year ago. If Dingra wins, Democrats are poised to take over the Senate. There are other off-year special elections for Washington Senate seats this year, but those are considered safe for one party or the other. The 45th Legislative District race has garnered $8.5 million in contributions to both candidates in the race. Other notable elections in Washington will be the City of Spokane vote on a ballot measure that would impose fines on rail companies for every tanker car full of oil that's not treated with an anti-explosive additive, and would fine railroads for every uncovered coal car traveling through the city. Opponents argued the ballot measure is unconstitutional because only the federal government has the authority to regulate rail traffic. Proponents of the ballot measure say the city is in a dangerous position with mainline rail routes going on elevated tracks downtown, saying a crash of an oil train could be catastrophic. City of Pullman voters will be casting ballots on a $10 million general obligation bond, of which $5 million would be used to purchase and refurbish a church on Crestview Drive to be used for a new city hall. Pullman voters will also cast ballots on a Parks and Trails bond levy. Pullman voters in Ward 1 will vote in a race between incumbent Al Sorensen and challenger Eric Fedgerin in one of three city council races on the ballot. Those living in Ward 2 will vote between Garen Shannon and Dan Records, who are running for the seat being vacated by Fritz Hughes. Those living in Ward 3 have a choice between incumbent Jeff Hawbaker and Brandon Chapman. Voters in Pullman's Ward 1 should make sure they are sending in the correct ballot. Ward 1 residents were sent ballots with Ward 2 city council candidates, followed by corrected ballots sent in gray envelopes. A Pullman City ward boundary map is available on the Pullman City website. Those in the Pullman School District will vote in two contested races for the school board. Amanda Tanner and incumbent Dean Kinzer are facing off for seat 5, and Nathan Roberts is challenging Carl Johansson in the seat 4 race. Voting in Washington is by mail-in ballots only. Ballot envelopes must be postmarked by the end of the business day today, but there are also drop-off points at the county courthouse in Colfax, at the Compton Union Building on the WSU campus, and at Pullman City Hall downtown. The deadline for using the ballot drop-off boxes is 8 p.m. today. Pullman teenager Keegan C. Tennant pled not guilty in Second District Court in Moscow yesterday to 7 felony charges relating to the death of another Pullman teen, Tim Reeves. The charges against the 17-year-old included involuntary manslaughter. In the same hearing, 18-year-old Matthew Maketa of Moscow pled not guilty to 5 felony charges. Police say Maketa helped Tennant hide Reeves' body after Tennant shot him during a camping trip in the woods on Nora Creek Road between Deary and Troy. Police say Tennant also robbed a Moscow pizza delivery person at gunpoint 2 days after the July 16th shooting and stole his car and left the area in the car with Maketa. The two were arrested July 21st near Curlew, Washington, 10 miles south of the Canadian border. Police say Tennant told them he didn't know the rifle he shot Reeves with was loaded. Tennant is represented by public defender Deborah McCormick. Judge John Stegner scheduled a trial date of March 5th for Maketa, who is represented by attorney Charles Peterson of Boise. Stegner has not set a trial date for Tennant, but scheduled a status hearing for January 2nd. Tennant is facing up to life in prison on the charges, which include robbery and concealing evidence. Maketa is also facing up to life in prison. Judge Stegner advised both teens' attorneys that he has a possible conflict because his wife is an English teacher at Pullman High School and has taught both Tennant and Reeves. Stegner said, if that is a problem, he can step aside, but the two attorneys did not comment on Stegner's disclosure. Health officials in Whitman and Latah counties say the rate of sexually transmitted diseases has increased in the last year, but not by as much as the rates nationwide. The Daily News reports the Whitman County Health Department has found the number of reported chlamydia cases in the county increased from 355 cases in 2015 to 411 last year. There were 12 reported gonorrhea cases in the county both years. In Latah County, the number of chlamydia cases went down from 173 in 2015 to 139 in 2016. Gonorrhea cases increased in the county from 6 in 2015 to 12 in 2016. The Centers for Disease Control reports the number of chlamydia cases statewide in Washington went from about 28,700 in 2015 to 31,300 last year. The number of gonorrhea cases in the state went from 7,171 in 2015 to 8,174 in 2016. In Idaho, the gonorrhea rate increased 35% between 2015 and 2016, and the syphilis rate remained unchanged. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Cloudy tonight with a low of 31 degrees, mostly cloudy, high 42 tomorrow. 80% chance of rain mainly after 10 p.m. Wednesday night, low 38. 80% chance of rain Thursday, mainly before 4 p.m., high 47. Currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, 33 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, our weekly documentary from Making Contact. I Am Not Your Negro is the topic. Bill, the movie about James Baldwin. And at 6:30 or so, we will have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Music begins with a Tuesday night grab bag at 7:30. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you could go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for listening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Have a good night.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and Hyperspud Sports, specializing in equipment for outdoor adventures. Hyperspud Sports is located at 402 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, call 208-883-1150 or visit hyperspud.com.
For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.